My call, you're here for Thomas Matters Radio, sponsored by Omega Processing Solutions and City Barbecue of Highland Heights. Today, we are joined by Darren Murner of Stockpiles, Borderlands,
Corporate Bravery.
What else?
That's all I need.
So what we're going to do today is talk about the year in review for Fort Thomas Matters.
Happy New Year, man.
Yeah, so it's, we're sitting here.
Are we like 2 weeks late?
We're a week late. We've got busy schedules. I mean, you have five jobs. So, I mean, and then you went on vacation.
I did, yeah.
What are you doing going on vacation?
Well, it really wasn't much of a vacation, but it was at a beach, so that's cool.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll give us a pass, people. So January 7th, we're going to talk about the 2015 year in review. So what I did was I looked at the Enquirer, and they're just so just disappointing more than anything, just because, like, they did a year in review, and they included, like, four stories for Fort Thomas, which I think, like, illustrates the difference between...
Well, it's the, it talks about the level of depth,
right.
You know.
It really does. So what I did, I was going to do, like, 20, but then I looked at theirs, and I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to do 100. So I did. I laid out 100 stories that we did. We did 980 stories total. You know, a lot of those were a lot more in-depth than others, but whatever. So we're going to talk about the top ones. I'm going to let Darren just kind of choose the agenda topic. We're going to go through the months, and we're going to talk about some of the bigger stories in Fort Thomas. So I'm going to leave it up to you. Go ahead.
Well, I feel like January, when you look at January, so I feel like there were like three themes that came out in January that was repeated throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So the first is the first city council meeting with the new members. So that was kind of a big deal.
It was. And I'll tell you, here's something I didn't put in any article or anything, but I never address council, like, publicly. Like, I, of course, I talk to them, like, every day, pretty much. I'll call or text or email somebody from council. I actually address them publicly in the city council. I'm sure it's in the minutes.
In the record.
And the reason that I did it was I was congratulating them. Thank you. You know, we had three new members.
Right. Well, I feel like that was part of the reason why it was such an important story for January.
It was. Right? We had Adam Meyer come in, Jeff Beasold, and John Muller, all new right. people. And so I got up and I asked them, I said, you know, congratulations first. But secondly, you know, we did not have a transparent council before. And I've dealt with other cities, and it's still kind of, I mean, we're getting there.
Yeah.
But I asked them, I said, you know, more than anything, what I need is I need communication. So as a member of council, you are on three committees, and you're the head of one committee. And when you're the head of a committee, it's your duty to set these committee meetings that happen in, you know, whenever,
right.
usually
right.
before council. And before, I wasn't getting that correspondence. I asked them for it
right.
a lot. And so that was my real reason for addressing
it. How do you feel like that worked out for 2015?
I only did not get notice or invited to one. That was the finance committee, and they pleaded ignorance. And I'm not going to say anything more than that. But
regardless, it was kind of a big story because we had such a turnover. I mean, it was kind of the first time where we had
a new mayor.
We had a new mayor. We had three out of the six new council members. Now, I, you know, looking back on 2015, I'm like, oh my gosh, what an amazing change or breath of fresh air. There's not a lot of tangible things that kind of came out of that, but I do think that, like, down the road, 2015, that story, that's probably going to be a big deal for the city of Fort Thomas.
I agree, and hopefully, you know, we'll see. I don't know. They've got to put – new council members have to put their name in the hat for 2016 by the end of this month. So
yep,
we'll see.
The next one is no bids again for VA homes. Now, I mean, that was kind of a top story in several months just because I feel like it's a long running saga. No bids. We're restructuring how we're going to take the bids. Meanwhile, the buildings just deteriorate and we don't have development happening and we don't have. So, I mean, I feel like that was just a common theme. It ran throughout the year.
Yeah. And I'm so sick of talking about that. I mean, like,
it's got to be the most asked question. I know it's something I get all the time.
It is. And I've gotten to the point where I'll just, I have a dossier of all of our articles that we've done on it, and I won't even say anything. I'll just send a link.
That in of itself is the sad part of that. You know, it's like, sure. And I think, like, hopefully new council members, you know, not really new anymore, or new city manager, the people that are running the city, hopefully they hear that and they realize the importance of getting those homes redeveloped and having residents in there.
It seems like the theme of that is that obviously there's a new process in place, RFP versus RFQ, proposal versus qualifications. We have a developer. It seems like the theme now is we are pinning our hopes on the federal government becoming more lenient.
Yeah. Good luck.
We'll see. Hopefully. I don't know. I got to put some skin in the game, though, guys. That's bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, I think as I look at February, one other theme that kind of came out in January that I feel like was repeated, this story was about a DUI crash damaging a business on North Fort Thomas Avenue. And I feel like there were several instances throughout the year. I mean, that in of itself isn't an exceptional story, but, you know, the theme throughout the year were people under the influence of something, right? Whether it's heroin or alcohol.
That one was alcohol.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember this, but I went up and surveyed the damage. So if they were driving north on North Fort Thomas Avenue, just past the Highland Avenue intersection where Judy the Crossing Guard is.
Yep.
So they were driving in that right-hand...
Which, did you know Judy has her own Facebook
page? Yeah, I know.
It's incredible.
We did a Facebook. It's the story on that one time. But he was driving. He hit Ford Ellington Florist. He hit that building, spun around the median on the other side of where now BB&T is, and, like, crashed his car over there. Right.
It was an impressive feat, really.
Right, yeah. Like 100 yards away from where the police are.
Like, if you had worked really hard to make that happen, it would have been a challenge.
Like, if that was a stunt driver,
he couldn't have replicated.
No, and thank God nobody got hurt. But, like, hey, people, stop driving under the influence.
Seriously, Well, and, you know, there were multiple instances throughout the year. There was the one over
mainly
near Woodville.
Mainly,
and mostly heroin. So, I mean, that's clearly a big issue, I know, at the state level, and, you know, it's continuing to be a massive issue for Northern Kentucky.
Yeah.
So, February, you know, there was a feel-good story, the buckets for Brady.
Brady Walls.
Ruth Moyer unveils renovation plans. I mean, I think that was probably one of the biggest things. It's like 2015 was probably the year that state money kind of came through for Fort Thomas Schools.
Fort Thomas Schools had a big year in 2015 as far as, like, wrapping up, like, the field house, and obviously the gym just got done, but it was supposed to be done in 2015. But that got done. Like, phase four of Highlands got completed. We got money in from the state for Ruth Moyer. Like, 2015 was a big deal,
right,
for Fort Thomas Schools.
It really was. Rimke closes in Newport. I mean, that's, I feel like, another theme, but I feel like we're kind of at the tail end of that. I mean, we have Aldi opening soon, and we have
Fresh Time
opening soon. You know, there's still a couple spots in that development there with Aldi, the former Kmart building. But it seems like we're probably kind of wrapping that up, unless something big happens with the Newport Plaza.
Yeah, you know, that's always, like, the rumor, but every time I talk to her name's Jamie, I'm not even going to try to pronounce her last name, Nimsura or something like that. She's always, you know, they always tell me that they're not selling, there's no rumor, there's no truth to those rumors of, like, the Walmart, and I sort of believe them now because they have done, like, quite a bit of renovation up near, I guess it's Newport Plaza 2, which is where, like, Ace Hardware and Super Hong Kong Buffet and, like, that place is used to be. So I kind of believe her. I think that they are, you know. And then somebody else told me something.
Well, I feel like that's easy for her to say because she's trying to keep her pieces leased, you know. But the flip side of that is all it takes is somebody with a big vision, you know, for something bigger and better there to come along with the right amount of money. And
I agree.
Things will change.
I think old Newport, like those names that you typically hear, like, they were, like, adamantly against Walmart for whatever reason. Like, they did not want it to happen. And some of the people that maybe don't live, that are newer Newport or don't live there, that just work for the city, like, they looked at it like, I don't really care who is coming in. If they're going to come in with a $1 million lease,
right,
for 10 years, like, who cares?
Yeah.
And I think that's where that line was kind of drawn. But
March must have just been a slow month. Maybe it was, you know, like spring break or something. I mean, it seems like the most exciting thing you had on this list, Mark, was the best business bracket. So.
Yeah. And by the way, that's like, I like doing it, but that is such a pain in the butt.
It seems like it. Yeah.
It's so hard to coordinate, and then people get mad about voting, and there's no good way to vote because people cheat. They figure out how to cheat the system, and they do it. So whatever. I think the biggest thing that happened in March was that Highlands obviously got a new athletic director. Matt Haskamp took over for Dale Mueller. So I don't know. Yeah, it was a slow month.
April, I mean, the franchise fees to replace the street tax. I mean, I don't know if that's really, I don't know if it's going anywhere or not. But
what do you think about that? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I know everybody hates paying their assessment. I mean, especially on busier streets where it seems to get resurfaced probably a bit more often. I don't know. I haven't really looked at the math to kind of say, you know, I know it's a pretty unique situation for Thomas's and how they do that.
Do you think, let me ask you this, do you think our streets are in good shape?
I would say generally no. I'd say they're generally in worse shape, yeah.
Well, I think probably if you ask elected officials, they would point to our system and say, look how good our streets are, this system is working.
Yeah,
and I think maybe one of the tougher things to get across to the elected officials, whether it's franchise fees or street taxes or whatever, is status quo. And is status quo just because it's status quo for status quo?
Well, it's easier to just continue to do what you're doing, right?
I mean, exactly.
There's a lot of risk to taking a different path, and yeah. All right, April 15 North set the opening date, but it didn't open. So, I mean, I don't know that I would say that was a huge one. South Bank approves money for River Cities. I feel like that's a much ado about nothing in terms of its impact on Fort Thomas, because I know Fort Thomas is included in the River Cities Trail and Fort Thomas included in South Bank Partners, but let's be honest.
Yeah, it's not really a part of the River Cities. But here's the thing that, like, and this is why I bolding it, and I should have, like, noted this in the article, but bolding means that, like, it's not a done story yet. Like, there's still something to be told on that whole thing. And South Bank did give some money to Fort Thomas. Now, like, other cities used it and probably got a bigger chunk of it. Like, I know Dayton and Bellevue used it. Bellevue Newport used it for Red Bike, and they got a bigger chunk of it. So my reason for bolding it was I wanted to know how much money that we got and what we were going to use it for. I mean, I agree with you. It's not probably not a big deal, but like, I want to know where that money is going.
Oh, completely. I agree with you.
And well, here's the thing, like, and this is where I talk about transparency. I was dealing with Don Martin on that, who was our former city administrator, and he would never give me a straight answer. Mm. Like, he would always tell me we haven't accepted the city, or I think we had to accept, or we had to have a plan in place to accept the money, and we never had a plan in place. So I kept asking, like,
what are you going to do with it?
What are you going to do?
What's your plan?
Yeah, what's the plan? And I never, that's why it's bolded.
So. Yeah, hopefully they figure that out.
Take the money, do something with it.
Seriously. So, I mean, one of the things you have listed here is the turnover for leadership positions at Fort Thomas Schools. There was a lot of movement with principals and, you know, Matt moving over to the AD position. It seems like, you know, again, they continue to just turn out good people. And, I haven't heard any noise really around a lot of the changes. And so hopefully that all settled out pretty well.
Yeah, I think, like, the new leadership at Moyer and Johnson and Highlands Middle School, I think obviously everybody's very happy with that. The biggest, I think, surprise, and none of those things were really, I mean, they knew, you know, those principals were going to move on in some aspect. But at Johnson, I think that was like the biggest surprise because I think her name was Tanya Brummer. She was the principal for like 1 year.
Yeah.
And she
it was so quick and short and, term.
You know, that was one of those things where like being a community reporter, I could probably like dig in and find out why, but I really
some things, yeah. Just
yeah. I mean, that was just kind of weird, like a weird situation. So I didn't really touch it, but who knows?
I mean, I feel like the 42-10 strong thing was a theme throughout. I mean, that was that you had one story there in May, but I mean, that was there was a kind of a continuing theme, and it was honestly like in the midst of kind of difficult circumstances, some really cool stuff. You know, watching the community rally around. I think that's part of what makes Fort Thomas so awesome is when those kinds of things happen and the community does just kind of rally around it.
For 2010 strong, of course, is Lieutenant Casey Kilgore, who was diagnosed with cancer. It was an aggressive form of it. His wife at the time, Lauren, was pregnant with their third. So it was initially a shocking and sad story. But as Darren talked about, the theme throughout was he was going to stay positive. And I think maybe it was last month they just did a scan and found no cancer. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, big time.
June, again, this was kind of a continuing theme, but hopefully we've turned a corner on it, is the Imperial Apartments on Grand. So
yeah, that it was basically a start from scratch situation. New owners came in, invested, I can't remember the dollar amount. But we posted some pictures. Did you see those?
Yeah, at the time or
the new ones?
Okay, no, I haven't seen
the new ones. I mean, it looks, if you just looked at them online,
yeah,
and had no like stigma attached right. to, you know, they're not called Imperial anymore. Right. They're called the Grandeur.
Right.
But the Grandeur is a completely different place right. now than Imperial
no,
was.
It, and you even as you drive past it, you can tell. I mean, not just the new signage, not just, you know, like I know they made a lot of infrastructure updates and stuff to the buildings. But, you know, they cleared out brush and it's just it's a lot more it's a lot more visible from the street, and I think that's making a huge difference.
If you Google Fort Thomas Matters, the Grandeur right now, you can see those
which
pictures.
No one's going to be able to spell that.
Grandeur is grand E-U-R. I think that's probably French.
I would
right?
probably spell that five different ways and still not get it right. The next one was Highlands State Championship baseball bid falls one game short. And I mean, I think the Highlands baseball team, man, talk about a season of highs and lows. I mean, it started off on such a low note. And, you know, to end one game short like that. And honestly, you know, a story that was kind of close to me was, you know, a few of those kids showed up at my son's baseball team.
Oh, yeah.
For the practices and stuff. It was Kai
yeah.
Anderson who
we did
who had
on
befriended
that.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was. The story was on there, and there was a great picture or two of the team with our kids. And, man, I thought they were really, you know, respectful and really mature. And, you know, so hopefully – you know, out of kind of what was a difficult circumstance to start the season, I mean, clearly they rallied around that, and
it was
what a great end of
yeah,
the season.
Yeah, either way you look at the season, I mean, the results at the end of the year were the best that the team has ever had. And I think, like, yeah, it was – there was some, you know, some negativity around the program and whatever. Who knows if it was whatever it was. Nobody knows except for right. the people that were in the room. But at the end of the day, like, people are not going to be – they're not going to remember the team for anything other than what their final record was, which was outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, June was just a busy month. I mean, Midway Cafe came under new ownership. I think that's been huge.
Do you know how they came to Fort Thomas?
I have no idea. I remember reading some stuff about it when they first.
So I asked them, I was like, these two guys, Dave and Matt, they both had full-time jobs at the time. They just wanted to own a bar and a restaurant.
Yeah.
And I asked them, I was like, why? Because they're not from here. They're from the west side of Cincinnati. And I said, why'd you pick Fort Thomas? And he said, we kept typing in, like, shop local or, like, small community bars or whatever. And, like, Fort Thomas just kept coming up and coming up and coming up. They went and checked it out. And
that's awesome.
They thought it was perfect. So, like, Google, thank you very much.
Yeah, Google, thank you very much. And clearly, I think there's an emphasis around shopping local and trying to support local businesses.
We've always done that. Yeah, we've always done that.
All right, I'm going to move on to July. I mean, the 4th of July stuff. I think the biggest thing there is probably the Highland Building coming under new ownership. So Dan and Jose kind of coming together to reinvigorate that. And, man, I mean, the early returns are promising, you know, nice lobby improvements, getting Colonel D's in and the donut this, shop. Yeah. What's the latest on those, by the way?
You know, I haven't checked in with Dan in a while on that. But I think, let's see. Top This, the last time I talked to them was a couple weeks ago, maybe, and they said around January, Colonel D did too, they've got construction going on there constantly. So if I had to guess, I would say spring for both of them. I think Colonel D's is probably ahead of Top This at this point. But, yeah, Dan Gorman buying that with David Jose kind of.
I mean, it's such an important building to that central business area, and getting some retail establishments in there, I think, is a big deal. You know, something I didn't see show up on here, and I don't think it was, you know, necessarily an article per se around it, but was really just the art walk this summer. I mean, I feel like that was a home run event for the city.
Big time. So, yeah, Barb Thomas obviously did the artisan market like the year before, so it was kind of her brainchild, and then the art house people, Sharon and Parrish, came in, and the city kind of worked together and made it a big thing.
Yeah. I mean, we had food trucks and, you know, Braxton, and you know, it felt like the weather cooperated almost every single time.
The year before it didn't. It out of the 4 year or the 4 Fridays that we had it, it rained on 3 of them.
Yeah. That makes such a huge difference. But hopefully this year, with the weather being nice, there was enough momentum around it.
Don't you think, things like that are,
huge.
So awesome for the city.
Huge.
Would you rather do that or Merchants and Music?
I didn't go to Merchants and Music this past year, but
do you think it's gotten too big?
I think it may have. I mean, I think it's probably good to draw new people into the city so they can see what Fort Thomas has to offer. So, I mean, I think there's still some value in it, but I mean, we do kind of go all out for that event, and it's like, man, the stuff on the Fridays is definitely much more of a community building experience.
I mean, listen, I have fun at any and every event. I mean, I'll go to if Fort Thomas puts it on, I'll be there. I'm not knocking Merchants and Music, but I agree with you. I just think the art walk things and the holiday walk is so underrated too.
It's
like the coolest thing to do because it's not crazy crowded, but it is crowded. But the difference is that at the crowded markets at the Merchants and Music, you see a ton of people that you don't know versus.
Yeah, for sure. August, Don Martin retired. I mean, that was kind of a big one. You know, again, continuing with the theme of just kind of the changeover in the city administration, you know, hopefully some things, you know, improve there.
Well, so here's what I'll say about Don. Don was a really good administrator in the fact that he was always prepared. He was very professional. But here's where I felt, and this is just my personal experience, I felt like the city under his direction could have been a little bit more transparent on things as far as just communication with people. There were some policies that he had in place. One of them mainly being that as an elected official, you weren't allowed to talk to other elected officials except for, or not even elected officials, but you're not allowed to talk to anybody that works in the city at all. So if you're a city council person and you want some documents from the police department or from finance department or whatever, instead of filing a open records request, you're supposed to bring everything through him, which I thought that was a little weird.
Totally.
But I mean, when you first started this website, I mean, one of the things that you talked about that got some good press coverage was the noise ordinances as it pertained to the Midway District. And you went to some of those meetings. Talk about that.
Well, I mean, I always had a lot of frustrations with Don and just felt like, there really wasn't, you mentioned the transparency. I felt like there really wasn't he wasn't a very good audience for residents' concerns. And you would take things, and it was kind of like there was a predisposed kind of idea about how this was going to end, regardless of how many people showed up or how many complaints there were. And it just, you know, I feel like as a city manager, I get that you're there at serving kind of at the request of the city council. But when the outpouring of either support or emotional concern about something reaches a certain level, that should be an indicator that, hey, maybe we should change what the outcome should look like. So, yeah, that's all I'm going to say. Let's move on. So a couple other things. I think feel like, again, this is a theme, but they restarted the building of the apartments on Memorial Parkway. That's a big deal. That kind of just sat there as an empty field forever. I know some people hate to see more apartments kind of coming into Fort Thomas, but, you know, it's going to look a heck of a lot better than what it's looked for the past several years.
Well, there's going to be a sidewalk there now.
Right.
Which yeah. there wasn't before.
Yeah.
And that's actually kind of a big deal. I mean, there's no way to get down Memorial Parkway
right.
without...
And you'll have a turn lane now, which they didn't before. Now, it's not like I regularly got behind someone trying to make a left turn, but I mean, I think that'll be helpful, even though there'll be more traffic there. The other thing was the convenient market turned over as well. So, I mean, I kind of felt like there was a theme of, you know, we kind of got some businesses that maybe had gotten a little stale, got some turnover in ownership.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. And you can click the link if you're wondering what we're talking about there.
Well, there's a lot more to that whole story that, and this happens a lot where, like, I have a ton of information that I can't go public with a lot of times. That story was like, I woke up at night thinking about that story for a couple of reasons, but like, That whole thing was really crazy. And like, maybe if I see you out one night, you can buy me a cocktail and I'll tell you about it. But that was a lot bigger than people thought.
Right, right. September. I don't know. Do you see anything you want to talk about there?
I mean, the property tax rate was one that, you know, is kind of like a boring story that nobody clicks on. But it's like super important. Like, all we care about in Fort Thomas are freaking deers and dogs, and like the property tax rate is a huge deal. And I think Adam Meyer like did a really good job of illustrating, you know, some of the problems that we have with it, with our surplus being what it is. And you know, you talk to council or you talk to people that work for the city, and they say, you know, this is just always how it is. They start spouting information about unreserved versus reserve funds, and really at the end of the day, like, it's just BS. I mean, it just is. We're not, you know, we're paying a lot of money, and we continue to pay a lot of money, and a lot of that is very, I mean, it goes to our schools, which I would never, you know, ever take away the money from the schools. But at the same time, you know, when we have an opportunity to not take the full compensating rate tax rate for the property taxes because our surplus is such, we should give the benefit of the doubt to the taxpayers. We should give them a break every once in a while. I think that's a big deal that nobody...
I know. It's kind of a boring topic nobody really wants to dig into
it's
the
because
details.
It's hard. It's hard to understand. And that's what I think the city does a poor job when I talk about transparency. Like, those numbers should be on the city website. Like, yeah. You should not have to feel like you're doing anything wrong by submitting an open records request to look through what the city is spending money or how much money we have in reserves. Like, that is
crazy.
An easy thing that could be on there.
The one funny story, I guess kind of funny, funny in the fact that Fort Thomas got swept up in this somehow, but the whole Kim Davis decision, how we had protesters descending upon Judge Bunning's front yard, that was an interesting day.
That was crazy. Like, I was sitting outside, and I saw this really weird van with like all these really. Did you see that truck that was driving around that had all those images on it?
Oh, it was crazy. Yeah,
like talking about how homosexuality is a mortal sin, and like had these two guys kissing or whatever. And I was just like, what?
Where did these crazies come from? I mean,
they were from everywhere. Like, they, no, they were coming from like Michigan.
Somebody puts a story out to like what listserv or what email distribution. Like, thank God I'm not on it, but it is crazy how somebody puts something out and next thing you know, people show up from all over the country.
Well, and I know Judge Bunning too, and he's like a super nice guy. Like, he was just doing his job as he interpreted it. And these people came to his house, like, get out of my city.
Right.
Like, go.
He's just doing his job.
Yeah, right? Protest at the courthouse. Like, get out of my city.
As I flip through the rest of these, I mean, Anita's closed. That was disappointing. But, I mean, I think it was kind of a tough location. And I think, you know, when you're competing against Rio Grande, I mean, let's be honest, that's a hard sell.
I'm not going to say anything about Rio Grande because they might be a future advertiser. So. But I did prefer Anita's when it was open.
And then, you know, we had more, you know, crazy people flipping cars and, you know, under the influence. I think there's just more of that kind of theme throughout most of these remaining stories. Do you see anything else? I mean, Ruth Moyer breaks ground.
Yeah, Ruth Moyer breaking ground was big.
The big one would be the Cheryl McCafferty thing as we move into November.
Yeah, she's out. Obviously, she got a pardon from Governor Steve Beshear. She was going to get out anyway. We kind of I broke the story on like the math behind like how she was getting out. I did that for WCPO, and then we did a podcast on it. But she was going to get out probably in March anyway. Right. So she
it wasn't as big of a deal as the headline.
Well, it just sucks, I think, for the, you know, the family, the victims.
That didn't get notified.
And, right.
Yeah.
And like, I feel for them on that. Like, I really do. But, you know, I don't know. Like, she's out now. It's not my job to be the judge or jury and say, well, she should have served more. Like, that's what she was given. This was the deal. This was the process. This was the system that instituted the punishment. She's out now. Like, there's nothing really more to say on it.
The election, Matt Bevin, I mean, we had a separate podcast kind of talking about that. And then, you know, subsequently Adam taking the position inside of his administration, which, you know, again, awesome. Let's hope that, you know, pays dividends for Northern Kentucky down the road.
Well, I'll say I do appreciate the governor's communications team. When I get a press release, I get it first. So I appreciate that.
That's awesome.
I don't have a big team, so I can't always get it up first. But keep that coming, Bevin administration. And Adam, if you have anything to do with that, I appreciate that.
December, you know, again, 4-car heroin-related accidents, blocks from Woodville. I mean, it's crazy to me. I mean, we've got to figure out some way to turn the tide on
this. Here's the thing. Like, do you think that the heroin legislation that was passed, like, do you think there's a way that we can legislate our way out of this?
No. No.
Like, what can we do to stop it?
Well, sadly, I think it will take more money just in terms of, you know, care facilities.
I think it's beds.
Care facilities, whether that's for detox. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, too, that there's just almost no place for detox unless you're in a, you're in jail. You're incarcerated.
So it's jails. It's Transitions, yeah. Which is a company here in Northern Kentucky. It's Brighton Center, which has some beds. The original heroin bill, I think, allocated like $5 million like right away to go to beds and treatments. But the only Northern Kentucky part that Northern Kentucky got a piece of was that went straight to the Kent County Jail. So you had to be in jail to be able to take advantage of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's the big fallacy there is, you know, and I see money from time to time. You know, they make nice headlines. I think McConnell passed something didn't pass it, but like appropriated some funds. But, you know, usually when I see the funds coming, it's usually directed in not necessarily the best or ideal places.
So what do you, let's just tie a bow on this whole thing. So like, what do you, as a Fort Thomas constituent, you've been here for how long now?
11 years, maybe 12?
11 years.
Or been, 11. Yeah.
You've ingrained yourself into the community. You have 3 children in Fort Thomas. Are the girls in Fort Thomas schools?
Yeah, they're all there.
So, like, what do you want to see going forward?
Well, I mean, you know, it impacts Fort Thomas, but, you know, man, if you go down to Newport or Covington, I mean, it's everywhere. You know, we have a business on Monmouth Street, Newport, and it is,
we're just talking about heroin right now.
Yeah. Heroin. And it's rampant, and you pass people on the sidewalk and you can see it on their face, you know, where it's just addiction has literally choked their life out. And, for me personally, I think where my family and I are investing our time is with the kids, because I feel like, you know, and putting aside the money and after, you know, services and beds for detox and for transitions, a big part of it is just like, we've got to give these kids some hope, you know, and it's like they're moving around from place to place and their parents are getting incarcerated and, you know, it's like we're creating a whole second generation of issues, you know, outside of heroin that is, you know, man, it's just sad to think about. And so we're engaging in that in Newport in a pretty big way. And I just think we all have a responsibility to get involved in one way or another, because, you know, put heroin aside, there's a lot of poverty and a lot of difficult situations that people are placed in some of our communities, surrounding communities.
What, economically speaking, as far as development and that kind of thing, is there anything else that you feel like, because that was one of your bigger platforms when you ran for city council, wasn't it?
Heroin?
No. economic development and
yeah, for sure. I mean, I think a lot of that was just related to kind of supporting local business owners, just because I felt like at the time there wasn't a lot of, there wasn't a lot of support for business owners, especially with the people that were leasing the properties. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think necessarily like more government handouts or more programs is necessarily going to solve it. You know, I think I don't know. It's a really difficult problem, I feel like. What about you?
Well, I mean, some of the things you're never going to be able to get around, like, you know, the fact that we've got three business districts that are on three separate parts of the city, you know, you're not going to be able to fix that. Not going to be able to add more parking, which is, you know, an issue mainly in, I guess, in Midway and Inverness too. Right. There's not a lot going on in Inverness except for, you know, 915, right. Smitty's, and, you know, there's some service businesses there, but
right.
I don't know. My whole goal and your goal when we started this was let's change mentality. Like, you don't have to get in your car to drive down to Newport, right. or up to Kenwood or wherever.
Right.
Like, we have everything in Fort Thomas. Like, let's change our mentality. And I think it's starting to turn, but I mean, this is a pretty provincial city. Like, yeah. And if you grew up here, like, you move back.
But part of that too is, I think, like, it's part of a bigger demographic shift to support local businesses. And, you know, I mean, we're definitely huge proponents of that. And I mean, I know you continue to write awesome stuff and support of local businesses. But, you know, like, the other part of it is, like, people want to live in a community where it's, you know, it's not only safe, but it's a great place. You feel good when you walk down the street and you get to go to the coffee shop and you can eat at the pizza restaurant across the street. And, you know, so it is. I mean, that's I think people want more of that. We need to continue to support them.
Yeah, I don't know how to do it other than, you know, drag your family,
yeah, exactly.
Drag your friends. And, like, you have to – it's just like anything. Like, if you want something to be good,
right.
you have to put effort into it.
Right.
And, like, yeah, for me, I live on the north side of town. To driving to Anita's took me – this sounds stupid, but it took me 15 minutes. Where right. if I wanted to go to Rio, I could jump down Memorial Parkway and be there in five.
Well, Peggy, my wife and I, we had a conversation one night at 15 North, and we love that place. I know some people are like, they just don't like wood fired pizza, and that's cool, whatever. But she had an awesome appetizer. And then the next time we went, she got ordered the same appetizer again, and there was like something just a little bit different. And I was like, man, you just need to tell them that, right? Because if you don't tell your local business owners, like, the worst thing you can do is to go in and have a bad experience and to not, like, in a constructive manner, not like, hey, I'm angry with
not
you.
Not like
and,
anonymous Yelp guy.
Right, exactly. Like, these people live in our community. Like, just walk up to them and say, like, hey, you know, like, I had an awesome experience last time. This food was cooked this particular way, and, like, this time, it like, this changed. And I'm like, man, that is, for a small business owner, that's, like, worth $1 million.
Oh, for sure.
Because if you don't tell them that, they're never going to know that, and they never have an opportunity to change it.
Yeah, you know? I get tired of, like, hearing, you know, negative things. Like, I'm not the person to bring it to.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, don't.
They want you to write a blog post on the fact that their pizza was a little burnt,
like,
last time.
It doesn't even matter. Like, I hear so many, like, negative things that I just try to, and I tell them, like, if this is important to you and you want this business to do, like, I'm not the one to tell. Like, go
tell them.
Go tell them. Like, I'm not the conduit between, I don't choose what businesses come here.
Right.
I don't choose how those businesses run their business. Like, all I do is try to raise them up.
Right.
And yeah, to your point, I mean, if you want these businesses to do well, you have to put effort in.
Yeah.
And you have to talk to them.
Right.
Tell them what you want, because ultimately they're a reflection of the community and the society that we live in. So,
all right, cool.
Darren Murner, Borderlands, Stockpiles, Corporate Bravery. Where can they buy Corporate Bravery?
Hey, actually, real quick,
yeah.
I'll put in a plug. So the weekend of the 22nd and 23rd of January, if you're either a small business owner or you just want to do this for your personal situation, we're doing a planning weekend. So 2016 planning weekend. So we've got like a spreadsheet template that we have. We're going to actually have some awesome speakers. So I don't know that I've said this anywhere else. I don't know if it's actually official yet, but I'm going to say
we can edit it out if,
like,
it's
Steve
not.
Smith, that runs the Model Group, and a huge developer in Cincinnati. I think he's gonna be a speaker. We've got a few other people. These are people who know how to plan out their lives, know how to plan out for their businesses. They understand the value of planning for, you know, just their family and for their businesses. And so I think it's really valuable. It's a pretty small fee. You do have to, like, commit to a solid 24
sure.
hours of effort around it. But if anyone's interested in that, we only have 15 spots, and they can go to our website, www.theborder.land. So that's .land is a new URL.
And we'll link that. We'll link that on the post that we're going to embed this video on. So, Drew Schwegman, action coach.
Yeah.
That's what he does. I mean, so yeah, that's a great idea. Borderlands, Stockpiles, Corporate, where can they get Corporate Bravery?
Amazon.com,
Corporate Bravery, written by Darren Murner. So for Darren Murner, this is Mark Collier for Thomas Matters Radio, always sponsored by Omega Processing Solutions and City Barbecue. You can always access our podcast archives at fortthomasmatters.podbean.com, or simply search Fort Thomas Matters on your App Store podcast app or on Google Play for Android. Mark Collier, Fort Thomas Matters Radio. Also sponsored by City Barbecue of Highland Heights at 2760 Alexandria Pike in Highland Heights, Kentucky. If you've not been to City Barbecue, go see my boy Ethan. Tell him to hook you up. If you've not been there before, everything's good. Here's what I get. I get the More Cowbell Sandwich. It's beef brisket, peppers, smoked provolone, onions, creamy horseradish, and it's on Texas toast. I get a side of green beans with bacon. Can't go wrong, guys. It is amazing. Again, City Barbecue, Highland Heights, Kentucky. Go see my boy Ethan. Again, for Darren Murner, thanks very much for being in the studio today. This is Mark Collier for Thomas Matters Radio.